بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. Indeed, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the favors and bounties that he has bestowed upon us. And we place salawat and taslim upon the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a means of barakah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. I bear witness and testify that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that indeed the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the true and final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, we have reached this episode and we have covered a portion of the seerah, of the history of the Nabi alayhi salam. Specifically, we spoke about how the Nabi alayhi salam, as young as he was, that the Jews could identify him and the people of the book and so on like that. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we continue but speaking about one of the most important times in the Nabi alayhi salam's life, and that is when he was a teenager. You know, a lot of times we hear stories of when the Nabi alayhi salam was older and he took on this and he took on that and so on like that. But how was he when he was in his young days? Was there any difference? How was he? I mean, as youngsters, we would love to know, because we are able to relate much more better, because it's something that is known to us. You know, when you're young, they say when you're young, you're able to understand each other. And that's why you find certain people say, you know, but because they're older than me, they don't understand me. These are the excuses that people come up with. Though I might agree or disagree with it, but let's look at how the teenage life was of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Nabi alayhi wa sallam is now 13 years old or older. He's now a teenager. What happens? The first thing that he does, and this is one of the most important lessons for us, the Nabi alayhi wa sallam, as soon as he becomes a teenager, you know what he does? He goes out and he go play? No. Does he go out and entertain himself? No. The first thing that the Nabi alayhi wa sallam goes is he goes and looks for his sustenance, meaning he goes to look for work. Look at this. At such a young age, he's an orphan. And at such a young age, the Nabi alayhi sallam decides, and though his uncle is taking care of him, he decides that he's going to go and look for some rizq. He's going to come and look for some sustenance that he can become independent. So he goes and he finds a job. What job does he find? He becomes a shepherd. And this was the first job that the Nabi alayhi sallam had as a youngster, as a teenager. And most of us today, I mean, when we were in our teenager days, what we could think was PlayStation, soccer, rugby, cars, all of these different things. And it's not something bad. I'm not saying that it's something bad. But look at the level of maturity that the Nabi alayhi sallam. I mean, the story itself tells you and indicates to you the high sense of morality that the Nabi alayhi sallam had, the high sense of maturity and principle that the Nabi alayhi sallam has. You know, especially the elders, they will tell you, no, they're very old school. They want the guy to have a job. They want to make sure that he's independent. He has this, he has that, so he's able to take care of his family. And that is old school, as they say. But guess what? That is a principle within Islam. That is a principle that we found within the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. As a youngster, he went out and he looked for a job and he got it. And he was starting to become independent and mature. At such a young age, the Nabi alayhi sallam could carry his own weight. Subhanallah. This was the Nabi alayhi sallam. And you can see that even with all of these things that's around him, of his uncle, and the uncle's able to take care of him, Abu Talib, the Nabi alayhi sallam did not want that. He wanted to also make even become a lesser burden for his uncle. He didn't want to be all that trouble for his uncle. Why? Because his uncle is taking care of his own family. His uncle's seeing to what he has to see, the wife, the children, all of these things. And the Nabi alayhi sallam, look at this rahmatul lil alameen, this mercy to mankind. As a youngster and a teenager, what does he do? He thinks of his uncle and he tries to help his uncle and he gets himself a job. And to show you, I mean, this Nabi alayhi sallam was a person, a man that stood for principle. The Nabi alayhi sallam says in hadith, then make sure you give the person that is working for you, give his haq before the time. Don't actually, to the extent that Nabi alayhi sallam says, give his haq before his sweat dries up. And this is one of the things that Nabi alayhi sallam shows and indicates when it comes to work and dedication. He said, you have to be dedicated. You have to be put goals in front of you in order for you to become a person that is independent of the rest of those that are around you. Because you see, if you are dependent on someone else, you might feel a bit guilty and loyal towards them if they ask you to do something that you might not agree with. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places characteristics in the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself in order to protect him from the rest of the people, that he becomes independent and he's mature and his high sense of morality and character and all of these things you found within the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at such a young age. And another thing also is that even though he's a Nabi, look at this. I mean, he's working. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have given him the kingdoms of kingdoms. He could have given him women. He could have given him money. He could have given him everything that he wanted on this dunya. But it shows us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to indicate to us about something that is successful for us. And that is what? Not to have too much on this dunya. Because the more you have, guess what? You're going to be questioned more. They say like the more responsibility, with more power comes more responsibility. And exactly the same thing, with more possessions comes more questions, right? You have less, you are questioned less. And that's why the Nabi alayhi sallam, even though he was not poor, he was independent, he worked for himself. But the Nabi alayhi sallam told us that he lived amongst the poor and he wants to be resurrected amongst the poor. That is an honor. That is a privilege that is given to the people that are poor. Why? Because the Nabi alayhi sallam honored them and he respected them and he loved them and he loved those that were independent, those that could stand on their own two feet. Why? Because at a young age, he was already standing on his own two feet. And that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with all of his Rusul, with all of his Anbiya, look at Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was a carpenter. Look at all the other Anbiya, also shepherds, people that worked with Zara plantation, all of these different things. They were people that served the community and served the society. They were involved, they were doing the services, and they interacted and benefited the people. And this was how the Nabi alayhi sallam was. It was a person that everybody knew and everybody could depend on. Why? Because they knew what type of man is this guy. What's his principles? What is the level of maturity that he's on? That's why they called him As-Sadiq Al-Amin, the most honest and trustworthy person. Why? And this was before Nubuwwah. This was before Nubuwwah. They knew him by this because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him in that way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trained him in that way and granted him these specific special characteristics and models. The Nabi alayhi sallam also, one of the things that we see is that even though the Nabi alayhi sallam has a life where, first of all, his parents passed away, he was an orphan, his grandfather passes away, he goes to his uncle, and on top of that, he's working, and he's not a minister, he's not an ambassador, he's not a businessman yet, he's a shepherd. And yet the Nabi alayhi sallam not once ever complained about it. He accepted it. He loved it. This is the decree. And that's why I say the Anbiya, neither before or after the Nubuwwah, meaning when they granted revelation, did they ever do a sin. They have never committed any shirk. They have never committed any kufr. Nothing. Why? Because they are considered as a ma'asum, sinless. They do not do anything wrong. And even with that, this protection that they have around them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed that yes, they had this protection around them, but they were just like me and you that had to go out and work and strive. And this is a lesson for us, that if people on such a high daraja have to do it, who are we? We have to go out, we have to work. Person can't just say, you know what, I'm going to wait, I'm going to go to Masjid, I put my trust in Allah, and that is how my rizq comes. No. The Nabi alayhi sallam was not that person. And that is not how you're going to get your rizq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. They are considered as mu'mineen, they believe, but they also what? They practical. They do their things. They have to do things. They work. عَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. They do the good, what they need to do. And that was the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why the Nabi alayhi sallam, just to show you how much service he offered his community and how much he was involved in his community, the Nabi alayhi sallam encouraged each and every Muslim to become a person that is that he shows his interaction with this community and is active. The Rabbi alayhi sallam said in the hadith, ahabbu nas ila Allahi anfa'um. The best and most loved people by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is those that are most beneficial to the people. And the Rabbi alayhi sallam even said, inna atyabu ma akantum min kasbikum. The best that you can eat from, the best that you can earn from, the best that you can use from is where Kakazbikum, that which you earn yourself, that you work out, you go out there and you search for your rizq. The Nabi alayhi salam said, that is the best thing that a person can eat from. And the Nabi alayhi salam, wa inna Dawood, and Nabi Dawood alayhi salam, kana ya'kulu min amal yadihi. The Nabi Dawood alayhi salam used to eat from his own hands, meaning he went out and he worked with his own physical hands in order to receive the sustenance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had placed out for him. The Quran even encourages us. The Quran says, فَإِذَا قُدِيَتِ الصَّلَاةِ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَبَدَهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. Then when the salah is finished, what do? You leave off, finish, خلاص, فَانْتَشِرُوا. Then you have to go out and what? Search. You have to go out and find something, do something, work. You have to contribute, you have to see to yourself, you have to become independent. And that is what this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from each and every individual. But guess what? The Nabi was like that even when he was young and before revelation. Allahu Akbar. He was like this before revelation. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trained him. Indeed, Allah spoke the truth when he said, إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Indeed, you were built upon the greatest of character and morals. That was the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why the Rabbi alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, بُعِثُ لِيُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I was sent for what purpose? In order to perfect who? The character of a human being. The character of the human being. And that was in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before anything else. And that is the problem. People today, they do not see the humanity in Islam anymore. They do not see the humanity in the Rabbi alayhi sallam when he started off as being a normal average human and did what was right. According to principles, according to what is right. That is what the Nabi alayhi sallam did. And this is what we see at a young age, the Nabi alayhi sallam did this. Another thing also that we see, one of the lessons that we're able to extract is that, you know, if you had a person that came and he was trying to give a message, but he says, look here, before I give the message, you must pay me. That's going to be a problem. You're going to think to your mind that, you know, that this guy is only doing this in order to get money out of me. So therefore, he's not honest or trustworthy. Now, this is one of the reasons why Allah granted this independency for the Rusul and for the Anbiya. Is because people might turn around and say, what, you know what? He's doing all of these things in order to get money. He's doing that to get money. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes us when the Anbiya and the Rusul approach the people, they said, La nas'aluka rizqan, we do not ask you for rizq. Or another thing also, Ya qawmi la as'alukum min ajrin, in ajri illa ala Allah. Oh my people, I am not asking you for anything. For what I get is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because Allah grants this independency for the Rusul and the Anbiya. And this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the Nabi alayhi salam from anybody trying to attack his character, or trying to attack his message, or somehow try to find something against the Rabbi alayhi salam. You know, nowadays everybody tries to go about the smallest thing, and even though they have absolutely no facts, no matter who tries what, they will never be able to just disregard or condemn the Rabbi alayhi salam. Why? Because even non-Muslims came out, professors, academics, people that are intellectual level, they came out and confirmed that the best and the most influential man indeed was the Rabbi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not because of what he quoted, but because of what he did and what he said, in the sense of showing what is right. Showing what is right. That was the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is one of the signs to show that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from all of these things and all of these questions that might have surfaced if the Nabi alayhi sallam was in a different situation. One of the things also that happened in the teenage life of the Nabi alayhi salam that we finally spoke about, the Nabi alayhi salam said, "Ma hamamtu min shay' min al-jahiliyah." I did not consider anything in of time of ignorance except twice. The Nabi alayhi salam said he thought about it. He didn't do it, but he thought about doing it. He said one night, the Nabi alayhi salam, while he was out taking care of the sheep, the Nabi alayhi salam had a friend, and he told his friend, look, and at that time there was a celebration, huge celebration. If you think of a party, huge party. And the Nabi alayhi salam was curious. I mean, that's normal. Allah created him a man. Allah created him a human being. And on top of that, he's young. He's a teenager. If he had to be a malak, if he had to be an angel, people might have turned around and said, you know what? This guy is a malak, he's an angel. How can you expect us to be on his level? No, Allah created him as a bashar, as a human being, for a purpose, for a reason. And that is that we can relate to the Rabbi alayhi salam to a certain level. So Rabbi alayhi salam, as young as he is, he hears about the celebration and he decides, you know what, I'm going to go out and I want to see what is this whole vibe about. You know, curious. And that is all of us. We're very curious human beings. We like to question. We like to find out. We like to explore. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the Nabi, like a human being. But of course, something different. But we'll get to that. So the Nabi, so as young as he is, he wants to see what is going on here. So the night comes and he decides, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to check out what's happening here. And as he's on his way, what happens? The Rabbi sees everything from a distance. You know, he sees the fire, he sees the people, he hears some sort of music, whatever's happening from a distance. And the Rabbi pauses for a moment, just see what is happening. He's starting to see now what is going on here. And without him realizing it, he starts to become tired and he falls asleep. Imagine. He's just standing there and he gets tired and he falls asleep. And the Nabi system only wakes up by the heat of the sun. What does that mean? The next day he only wakes up and he wakes up by the sun being on his face. And the Nabi system decides, okay, you know what? I fell asleep. Maybe I was tired last night. Let me try it again tonight. And what happens? The Nabi system then decides it again. He goes out. He tells him, take care of the sheep. I'm now here. I'm going to go see him. Curious. And he goes out and he's about to go to the place again. Same thing happens. He stops. He's watching the whole what is happening around, analyzing, checking out, and guess what? What happens? He falls asleep again. And the Rabbi alayhi salam, then when he wakes up again with the sun touching his face, meaning the next day, he takes this as a sign. I'm supposed to not be there. Something is stopping me from being there. Who is stopping them? Who is protecting the Rabbi alayhi salam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting the Rabbi alayhi salam even before Nubuwa. Because the Anbiya, they are ma'asum, they are sinless. Whether after Nubuwa or before Nubuwa, they are considered as sinless. And there's a difference. For instance, we know that sins, for instance, are things that are done intentionally. Sins are things that are done intentionally. So for instance, you know that this is haram and you intentionally do it. You know zina is haram, you intentionally do it. And you go through with the thing, that becomes a sin. But for instance, maybe a person comes around and he says, you know what, I want to do something good, and somehow or another it turns out to be a mistake. What is a mistake? Mistake is there's no intention. There's no intention to disobey. There's no intention to perform a sin. There's no intention for pleasure. There's no intention for any of these things but the satisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore you find sometimes people make mistakes. Not a sin, because the intention is wrong. But even so, the Nabi system did not make a mistake, or did he ever sin. Why do I say that? You see, what is the definition of a mistake? A mistake is when you do something that there is a principle on. Meaning, if you order with something, and it goes against something that has already been established in the principle before your judgment, then you're doing a mistake. Now we look at the different ayat. So for instance, example, when the Rabbi took Zayd ibn Haritha, he's adopted, we know him as his adopted son, but he took him as his son. What happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran then mentioned, "Udu'uhum li'aba'ihim huwa aqsatu 'inda Allah." Call them to their fathers, for that is the best way, the correct way, the right way? No. Allah said that is more best by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aqsatu meaning afdalu inda Allah. Best by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what does this mean? First of all, was there any rules concerning adoption in Islam before the Rabbi said something like that? No. But what did he do? He did a human thing. He did what humanity encourages, and that is closeness with people, you know, making families, all of these different things. So to a certain extent, the Rabbi said, whether his principle was not wrong, definitely wrong, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him what is the better way concerning Islam. What is the best way to do it by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it was not a correction, no, because there was no rule before that. There was no rule before that. So it's not a mistake. So these are the things that we need to understand when it comes to Anbiya and the Rusul, that they are considered as sinless ma'asum. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him. And they were not ma'asum. Logic would tell you then they can make mistakes. And guess what? Then you might find about in the Quran mistakes or errors or contradictions where the Quran, لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه ولا من خلفه. No errors, no contradictions, no mistakes comes close to the Quran. Why? Because the conveyor of Quran was protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Anbiya and the Rusul, they were protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One also event that happened in the life of the Rabbi alayhi salam was, Rabbi alayhi salam, you know, when I came to the Kaaba. Now, first of all, we know according to the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعْ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْكَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلِ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us and described to us that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam and Nabi Ismail alayhi salam are the ones that lifted up the pillars of the Kaaba. But now, after time, the Kaaba was damaged. The Kaaba was damaged and it became maybe a bit rusty. It became all of these different things, you know. And Quraysh then decides to rebuild it. But in what sense? Make it beautiful, make it nice again. So at this time, who is the one that is in the first, in the front line in order to help and assist and be at service? Is who? The Rabbi alayhi salam. So he then goes and he decides that he's going to help them, and he picks up the bricks and they're busy building all of these things. And Abu Talib, his uncle is with him, and Abu Talib then suggests to him, Jabir ibn Abdullah narrates the story. Abu Talib then narrates him, tells him, look here, why don't you take off your top, put the stone in there, and then carry it on. What is he talking about? You see, at that time, in Jahiliyyah, in the time of ignorance, it was normal for people to make tawaf naked. It was normal for a person. You find a person walking naked because of whatever, it would be normal for them because that was the culture, that was the tradition. And this was before Islam. So, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Rabbi also said in another hadith to show that it did exist. The Rabbi said that once Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went in and the Rabbi made his hajj, he said, nobody is going to make tawaf around the Kaaba of a mushrik or a aari, a person that is naked, because that is how they used to perform the tawaf around the Kaaba. So Abu Talib then suggested to him, look here, instead of carrying it because it's very difficult, I tell you what, take your top, take your izar, put the stone or the rock in there, and then you carry it like that. And that is what they used to do. The Arabs used to do that. Walk around, you see a guy carrying a stone and he's naked. That was something that was normal for them. Of course not. But even though maybe for us as Muslims today it's not normal, but if you go to Europe, yeah, Allah, you find, even it's not Europe, South Africa itself, there are certain beaches that you just have to stay away from. Don't go close to them, brother. It's best that you want to keep your iman strong, so you don't go close to these people. But you find people naked. Huh? They're bare. They have no clothes on it. So Abu Talib then decides he's going to what? He's going to advise the Rabbi alayhi salam, and the Rabbi alayhi salam is going to follow. So the Rabbi alayhi salam then, as he's about to take off his top, his izar, what happens? Out of nowhere, he collapses. Out of nowhere, he collapses, and the Rabbi says, and he's looking in the sky. And then the Rabbi alayhi salam just faints, he just disappears. And then as soon as he wakes up, the first thing that he shouts, izari, izari, my top, where is it, my top? And he's trying to cover himself, he's pushing his top down, and he's trying to cover himself. Why? Because he knew that this was something that he did not do. It's not that he fainted by himself, but this was a sign, this was some sort of protection from, by who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protecting the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from falling into any wrong or any mistakes, anything of this. Why? Because Allah was training him and getting him ready to become the master of mankind, the best of mankind, and that is him, himself, the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One thing that I want to end off is, with all of these lessons, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the Nabi alayhi salam for a specific reason. And he made him a bashar for a specific reason. And all of these things that happened in his life was all for specific reasons. And it is wajib upon us not just only to read the seerah of the Nabi alayhi salam, but try to understand and contemplate and try to extract the benefits behind these stories. And we will be able to take these things and implement it in our lives that we are living today. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the understanding and to be able to see to the sunnah and follow it and extract from the seerah so that we may follow and take lessons from it. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillah rabbil alamin wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.